You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Delegates of the Post-Primary Teachers Association, representing more than 17,000 secondary teachers' interests, have rejected an offer from the government to better the current situation. The offer included a 9.3% pay rise, but many delegates who took part in the vote against it referred to the offer as insulting. They request a new proposal by November 6th, one that would genuinely address the two core issues the profession faces, an excessive workload for current teachers and the current and looming shortage of teachers. I spoke to the PPTA's president, Jack Boyle, about the union stance and what to expect in the near future for the ongoing negotiations. But first, I asked him to elaborate on the biggest challenge that needs to be tackled, the lack of attractivity of a profession which is losing more and more of its workers.
What we know is that 40% fewer New Zealanders are coming into secondary education than there were in 2009. Of those who do come in, 40% are leaving inside their first 5 years. And what those two stats tell us is that the pay is insufficient for the best people to go, this is a career option for me, and to come in. And those 40% who are leaving inside the first 5 years, what that says is that the workload, the demands of the job, are insufficient for them to remain. And that's pretty worrying. We've got another statistic that is equally worrying, and that is 20% of secondary teachers in New Zealand are older than 60. Now, while they will be fabulous educators, they cannot continue just forever to be doing that job. So the idea that we can sort of just wait and maybe things will balance out over time, well, we've been tracking this picture for since 2009. We know that just waiting and hoping is actually having a real negative impact on the tamariki mokopuna of New Zealand. There are young people who are missing out right now because there are no trained, qualified, motivated teachers in front of their classes. There are people who are teaching outside of specialist areas. There are people who are untrained who are being used to fill gaps. In some cases, there is no teacher at all, and so classes are being mashed together so that there's an adult in front of them. And that is impacting the learning of our kids. That is why when we get an offer that does not do anything to redress the fact that we've got shortages, it does not do anything to redress the workload, which compounds when you've got fewer people doing the same amount of work, then everybody's share gets bigger. And that's why that reject vote happened yesterday.
So correct me if I'm wrong, but basically the government's offer was a 9% increase over 3 years.
So it was between 2 and 3%, depending on where you are, and across the 3 years of the settlement, so between 2 and 3 per annum for 3 years. And while that's, you know, subject to negotiations ongoing, we'll be going back to negotiations, there are other elements that the 18,500 secondary teachers in New Zealand have said were needed so that we can bring out the best in young people. And unfortunately, very few of them seem to have been engaged with, and certainly there was nothing in that offer to show that those ideas and those needs have been engaged with. So nothing around the additional barrier for teachers living in high-cost areas. Not only can they not afford to ever buy a house, but they can't even afford to rent anywhere near the school that they might be employed at. We've got things like a maternity leave clawback from the employer instead, so that rather than supporting wahine when they go off and have children, they're only going to get the payment when they return to work. So not when you need it in order to do that critical job of raising a child, but you have to go back to work in order to get the payment that you need, you know, however long earlier when you leave. So we just haven't had sufficient engagement with what was in our claim. And in fact, we've had things like that, which really doesn't demonstrate the sort of shared problem solving that we'd expect in good faith negotiations.
It's interesting that you point out that your claim was much more thorough, I suppose, was looking at different areas to make the profession globally more attractive for young people, because people tend to believe that it's all about a pay rise, like kind of an immediate fix that is a pay rise, and tend to forget that there's other things that can be done to make the profession more attractive. And so it seems the government's kind of focused its energy on said pay rise and kind of overlooked everything else, all the other
Absolutely. Parts. I mean, one of the key things, while we have a minister who we believe when he says that he acknowledges the heavy workload of teaching, and particularly the administrative workload that isn't really about teaching and learning, and yet a claim that was for more time to do the work that is important, well, that was rejected out of hand as well. So, you know, there are a number of things, and what we saw was that a correction was needed. That correction, which includes the support for workload, the recruitment and retention, that sort of ability for us as professionals to do our very, very best for tamariki, hasn't really been engaged with sufficiently at this point, which is a shame. Because if the only solution to not having enough people wanting to come into education is not money, because they're not engaging with anything near what we say we need in terms of relativity with other salaries, so people are choosing to go into higher paying and probably less intense and challenging careers, then I'm not sure what it is. The assumption that somehow magically you can open the door to teachers who are trained from offshore, which seems to be part of the government's current thinking, well, they've poured huge amounts of money into recruitment agencies, and as far as I can tell at the moment, that's generated 181 extra people getting, you know, support for relocation to New Zealand, and we're talking about thousands being needed. And not only that, having time to engage with New Zealand's curriculum, with the beautiful diversity of our learners and a culturally responsive pedagogy, well, that's not being talked about with these people who are going to come from elsewhere. And this is in a context of global teacher shortages. Mm-hmm. And the fact that New Zealand is amongst the lowest paid secondary teaching workforce in the world, or at least in the OECD.
Because I suppose there's also the question of quality of education, which is linked to both supply and workload. And obviously, if you get people from overseas, you might have an impact on quality of education. I was also reading that there's current use of senior students for relief cover, and that you have teachers teaching outside of their specialist subjects area. All of these things actually do affect the quality of education and need to be addressed.
They absolutely do, and that's what the correction that we put on the table with the government was about. It was about our duty of care as educators to do our very, very best to provide the best quality education for young people, and increasingly that is becoming so big a challenge because we can't recruit and we're struggling to retain, that directly impacts the young people who should have the best as a right.
Chris Hipkins, the Minister for Education, said that your claim of a 15% pay rise is out of the ballpark. He also seems to sort of blame the current situations on the previous national government, saying that it would be a lot of work to sort of undo the wrongdoings of the previous government. What do you think about this?
Well, if we deal with the second statement first, and he's actually got a case there, because as I said, we've been tracking and putting up solutions to the problems of supply and workload for a very long period of time, and that was during the previous administration, and we haven't got anywhere near where we needed to. So that's why last year's conference, which was around about the time of the election, so we didn't know who the government was going to be, that set us on the course for this correction this year, and that was going to be irrespective of which government was in power. So that there is definitely some evidence behind Chris's statement, or the minister's statement, that the previous administration needs to carry the can. That notwithstanding, the former comment that you mentioned, you know, that it's completely out of the ballpark, well, we are in a negotiations process, and in good faith, we need to be looking at solutions. It doesn't mean that you get what you want just because you want it. It means that you work together in partnership to do your best, and we want to see that. And so I guess statements around 15% being out of the ballpark are a bit unhelpful, because he knows absolutely, as do we, that a shared commitment to ensure that every young person in New Zealand has got the very best opportunity to access high-quality education in Aotearoa should be a right.
Do you think he's saying that, just obviously this is negotiation, so you reject his offer saying it's not possible, and then he says, well, your claim is not possible either, so that you can end up finding some sort of a middle ground somewhere?
I think that's a very aspirational, and I want to believe that is absolutely what he's doing, but the key point will be that in good faith, and we believe that the Minister is speaking in good faith, we need to continue negotiations, and that their first offer was insufficient, so we'll recommence.
What about a potential industrial action?
Yeah, so there's obviously been quite a bit of media attention around that, and that's probably because of the convergence with NZI Tiroro, who mm-hmm. represent primary school teachers, among others, and where they are in their current contract negotiations. Now, you don't start a good faith negotiation process waving a big stick around. So we are not planning industrial action, but obviously, if you know, we reach an impasse, if we're just there's daylight between what we know we need and what the government is willing to do, then I cannot rule that out, and we've kind of ruled a line in the sand because of the urgency, because of the impact on young people who may fetch up to school at the start of next year and not have teachers. It certainly won't have teachers who are curriculum specialists in a particular area mm-hmm. guiding their learning, and that's not acceptable. So the line in the sand is we want a better offer by November the 6th, because then minimising the impact on learners of taking meetings, because, you know, the senior students will be on exam leave, mm-hmm. and so therefore, you know, teachers aren't suddenly leaving those students with the only option is to go home.
Mm.
And it allows community, school principals, school boards to actually continue to meet the needs of young people. And we, as a teaching profession, are able to consider that offer. If we don't have an offer, and I've got no reason to believe why we wouldn't, but if we don't, then it's likely that the Secondary Teachers of New Zealand will see that as a show of bad faith, and then we might be talking about, you know, what next.
Have you drawn the line about how many of your claims need to be sort of fulfilled by the government through an offer, or is there things that you have decided you would not go without?
No, we haven't done that, because that would sort of touch up against that good faith provision and mm-hmm. collective bargaining. But certainly every single item in the claim that we put forward had almost unanimous support from the secondary teachers in New Zealand. Like, it was up at sort of 98-99% endorsement of those claim items. However, as a teacher-led organisation, the only people who have got the say on what's in and what's out and what they'll agree to are the Secondary Teachers of New Zealand. So if we get an offer that contains X number of responses to what we've asked for, then it will be the Teachers of New Zealand who will be deciding that. What we're hoping is that that offer we've asked for by November the 6th will be such an opportunity for the teachers to consider.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.